Now on Radio 4, a new drama by Tracy Ann Oberman. Mrs. Robinson, I presume.
Call me irresponsible. Call me unreliable.
Larry Terman?
Mike Nichols.
How you doing? I'm sorry we had to meet here, but I only have an hour for lunch, and the theater's right next door.
Sit.
Okay. I know you're in a hurry, Mike. You are the man on Broadway at the moment.
What are you rehearsing?
The Odd Couple, Neil Simon's new comedy. A great cast. Do you know Walter Matthau?
Who?
He's one to watch. He's funny.
Mm. I was a big fan of your comedy, Mike. Your shtick with Elaine May, just brilliant.
Well, thank you.
You had something very special together. It was fresh, clever, anarchic. You sideswiped everything, but so genteel-like.
It was Elaine, really.
That scientist in his mother's sketch, it still kills me. And all improvised.
She's brilliant.
Grammy Award, all those sellout shows, and then you just quit. That takes chutzpah.
Elaine had the chutzpah, Larry. I'd have quite happily carried on to my dying day. But with Kennedy getting elected, it felt like there was nothing to kick back against anymore. Oh, I recommend the Kanishas, by the way.
Ah, okay. I'll cut to the chase, Mike. I know you gotta get back. I've just optioned the book. The Graduate. Have you heard of it?
Charles Webb, yes.
Have you read it?
I'm up to my eyes in theater scripts at the moment.
I would like you to read it. I produce movies, you know that, right?
Well, it's not every day a big-shot movie producer calls me up for lunch.
I don't know about the big shot.
Well, you're the first one to take me to lunch.
The Graduate is a great novel. I think it will make a greater picture. And I have a hunch that you are the right person to direct it.
A movie? I've never directed a movie before.
I don't care.
Well, I do.
You don't go to the movies?
I adore movies.
Me too. Listen, I am crazy about this book. It is the book of our generation. It's anarchic and shocking, dark, but very funny. It's Nichols and May.
High praise.
I paid for the option out of my own money, something a movie producer should never do. I have flown all the way back to New York, a journey I hate, to get you, a man who has never directed a movie, to direct the movie. And I'm not leaving New York until you've said yes. Read the book, Mike. Tonight.
Are you always this pushy?
Always. I worked in the schmutter trade for years, slapping up 5 flights of stairs, balancing a bolt of silk just to have the door slammed in my face. I learned early, pushy is good. With pushy, you get a quick yes or no. Two Kanishas. This man's in a hurry.
I read it on the subway home. I missed 2 stops. Man, that ending.
The 2 of them on the bus. I told you. This book is like nothing else, Mike. I'm Benjamin Braddock.
No. I'm Benjamin Braddock. Every day of my life, I've walked around wondering, who am I? What am I doing? And finally, there's a book about me, full of I don't know, humor, alienation, the unexpected.
Absolutely.
It's going to make an amazing film. But I'm not your director, Larry. I've never even been on a film set.
Movies are just movies. It's the world surrounding them. Not so good, but there's something in the air. Change. Don't you feel it, Mike? You read the book. It's a calling card. It's all gonna change. 1963, it's just the start.
You think I can do this?
Yes.
Your faith is invigorating. Okay, I'm in.
L'chaim. So, here's the deal. I'll level with you, Mike. Here's the thing. I have the book. I don't have a script. I don't have any money. I don't have any studio. I don't have any actors. Suddenly, no stars. I have nothing. But now I have you.
I'm not even a movie director.
Work with me on The Graduate, and you, Mike Nichols, are going to be a great movie director. And to seal it, Here's my offer. It's a 50-50 straight split. We make it together, all the way. Are you in?
Okay, it's a deal. It's a deal.
No agents, no contracts, no paperwork. Mike Nichols, I love you already.
President Lyndon Johnson paid tribute in Congress to President John F. Kennedy shot 3 weeks ago today.
Ow! Why my finger?
Come on, man. It's minus 20 degrees. I'm freezing my nuts off here. And this asshole wants a refrigerator delivered? Huh? Why didn't he just open the window? Come on.
And then, you know, they made me wait outside.
Lift it, Hoffman. I can't carry it myself.
I mean, it's rude. It's just rude. And when I got in, she asked if I'd learned it.
Oh, Christ.
I said, of course. So she said, do it. So I did it. She said, do it again. I did it again. Then he, the director, says, are you going to do it like that? I said, like what? He said, like that, with that wine. I said, what wine?
Ah, oh, God.
And then he says, is that how you're going to play it? And I said, I don't know. I only got it last night. I don't know how I'm going to play it in front of an audience, with or without wine, at the end of a three-week rehearsal process.
Asshole.
Asshole.
Hoffman, listen to me, man. I'm not doing it anymore.
Acting?
No. I mean, I'm not going to casting calls anymore. Most of those lazy-ass actors are getting our jobs because they learned it on day one, and that's the performance they deliver on stage 4 weeks later. Okay, lift.
Yeah. We should all be given the time.
Yeah.
Heckman, do you think I should get my nose fixed?
And this Joseph Levine is just going to give us $1 million and leave us alone.
Pretty much.
Is that usual?
He's a good guy, but not considered quality. I think he wants us to make something different.
So we can do what we want.
Looks that way.
Great. Oh, it's hot. How much longer is he going to keep us waiting here?
Welcome to Hollywood. Trust me, Brian Keith is worth the wait. He was great in The Parent Trap. I mean, we need a name to attach to the project. They love him out here.
You know, I never saw The Parent Trap.
Sorry to keep you guys waiting. Good to see you, Larry.
Mr. Keith.
You must be Mike Nichols, huh?
Hello, Mr. Keith.
Where's the ashtray? Beer? They're ice cold.
No, thanks. No, we're okay.
Look, guys, I gotta be quick. I'm due back on set. So, The Graduate, huh?
Indeed. Thank you for reading it.
And you'd like me to play Mr. Robinson?
That's the idea, Mr. Keith.
Has this guy ever made a movie before?
Mike Nichols is an award-winning theater director, Mr. Keith.
Sure. But has he ever directed a movie?
No, I haven't.
I'm all for youngsters turning up and wanting to reinvent the wheel. But there are rules you gotta play by. Come on, Larry. You know that.
Rules?
I read your book. I'm just going to say, guys, it's the biggest piece of crap I ever read.
You didn't like it?
What's it about? It's a nasty story, with all respect.
Nasty?
And as for making it into a movie, why would anybody pay good money to see it at a picture house?
Wait, so you think we shouldn't turn this into a movie?
It'll suck as a movie.
Okay. Okay, we won't do it.
Good.
Mike.
No, hang on, Larry. Now, I'm from New York. The theater is my world. But I'm smart enough to know that when an esteemed screen actor like Mr. Keith here tells us this story sucks, then we should listen.
Hang on, Mike.
Son, it's harsh. But I'm going to tell you what no one else around here would say to your face. The Graduate is not a good story, and it's not going to make a good movie.
Then we are not going to make it. May I? Prost, Brian.
Prost.
Prost?
I hear it takes years to get a movie made, so I want to thank you, Mr. Keith. You just saved us years of frustration.
My pleasure, Mike.
Come on, Larry.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Keith.
Huh. Yeah. Anytime, huh? But don't give up.
We won't.
What the hell is going on? Are we giving up?
No.
We're still making this movie?
Yep.
Then what the hell was that all about?
It was fun. That's what that was about.
And we've not seen a whole lot of Oh, I sent the book to Doris Day.
Doris Day? Really?
Larry Terman, this is Marty Melcher, Doris Day's husband. What in the name of Christ, our Lord, do you think you're playing at? What is this piece of pig filth you've sent to Doris? The graduate? I am speechless. What are you doing, man? I am for American values. I am for the American family way of life.
Marty, calm down. Why are you shouting?
Shut up, Doris! This book is depraved. Depraved, I say. It's filth! To think of my wife getting naked with a man half her age. How dare you? And then her own daughter sleeping with him? You must have lost your mind. No actress is going to want to play this part. Never, never. Least of all, Doris Day. The insult. I mean, I have never heard of you, but believe me, you will never work in this town again.
Marty, please.
Doris, get up!
She sent a thank you card, though.
Well, that's nice.
It's purple. Smells like roses. You okay? Not losing faith?
If Doris Day thinks it's depraved, then that's only a good thing.
Oh, dear. Bad day?
Buck, is Broigus with me?
Again, Mel?
Yes.
I don't know how you two managed to ride together. Still no interest in springtime for Hitler?
I can't get a bite. They all think I'm nuts.
Well, you are nuts.
Is it nuts to make a big musical about the Nazis?
Well...
So what's Fiddler on the Roof about? It's a musical about a pogrom.
Well, make a musical about the Black Panthers. Topical.
I thought of a great hook line today. Don't be stupid. Be a smarty. Come join the Nazi party.
I'm gonna make you eggplant parmesan tonight.
Oh, that helps. Oh, that's better. How was your day?
Awful. More classes, no work.
And not this again. You have an Oscar. Anne Bancroft. Best actress. Best actress. Best!
Yeah, and look how far it's gotten me, Mel. Endless classes, no good parts.
What? What? Sorry. Sorry, Larry, the line's bad. I'm on set.
Mike? Have you been getting my messages? I've left a ton of messages.
What's wrong?
I was getting kind of paranoid. You win a Tony on Broadway, and suddenly you're directing your first feature with Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton.
So?
So, I haven't spoken to you in a month. I'm afraid of Virginia Woolf. Are we still friends, Mike?
Larry, I'm having something of a nightmare here. I've just told the great Jack Warner that either he leaves me to direct my movie my own way or I walk.
You pissed off Jack Warner?
I know exactly how I want it. It's just like directing the play, but with more toys. And yes, I know I'm not winning any friends here, but it's what Ben Braddock would do, right?
Good. Ben Braddock. $1 million question, Mike. You still want to direct The Graduate with a nobody like me?
Of course I do. What are you talking about?
Thank God. Thank God. So, we have a problem. The Willingham script, it's awful. He's made the story weird and awkward. The sex is disturbing. It's just not funny. In the words of Brian Keith, it sucks.
Oh, Mr. Burton wants to see you on set.
Okay, I'll be there in a minute. Okay.
A jaded graduate seduced by his mother's best friend falls in love with her daughter and elopes with her. That's specific, but Willingham makes it unpleasant.
Well, that's not The Graduate, Larry. The Graduate is about everything we're going through right now. There is a national identity crisis.
I get it, but it's not in this script.
Okay, Larry, I'm going to call Buck Henry.
Who?
Buck Henry. He writes that TV show, Get Smart, with Mel Brooks.
And Bancroft's husband. I love that show.
Yeah, he's sharp as a razor. Lives in his pajamas, has a life-size stuffed gorilla in his living room.
Sounds weird.
Well, thus perfect to write The Graduate.
Has he ever written a screenplay?
Not to my knowledge.
Ah, great.
He's funny. He'll put in the funnies.
Mike, have you asked Liz Taylor if she wants to play Mrs. Robinson yet?
So, I have a callback for a movie tomorrow.
You want to go through it?
It's with Mel Brooks.
Hey, you love that guy.
I know. Mel Brooks, I'm nervous. Part is a crazy German writer.
That's your kind of part.
Yeah. I really want this. Mel Brooks is a genius. The movie is out there. It's called Springtime for Hitler.
What?
It's about two producers putting on the worst play ever written.
Franz Lipkin?
Who wants him? Why don't you leave me alone? I love my adopted home country. I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
It's about your play.
Springtime for you know who? What about it?
We love it. We want to produce it on Broadway.
Oh, joy of joy. Oh, dream of dreams.
Now, look to the pigeons, Dustin. Say the next part to the pigeons. Actually, add, oh, I must tell the birds.
Oh, I must tell the birds.
Name them.
Friedrich, Liesel, and little Eva.
Go on. He's crazy. Insane. He's the maddest ex-Nazi who ever lived. I want him to start extolling Hitler. You know, something like, Hitler was good, Hitler was kind. Not many people noticed, but he was a great painter. Two coats, one afternoon.
I love this role.
Yeah, read the musical part. I finished it last night.
Germany was having problems. What a sad, sad story.
Needed a new leader to restore its former glory. Where, oh, where was he?
Who could that man be?
We looked around and then we found the man for you and me.
I have to be in this movie.
I have to be in this movie.
Hoffman, you have to be in this movie.
Mike! Mike, open up!
Hey, Larry, I was in the shower.
Sorry.
Get dressed. Get dressed now.
What's going on?
Buck's script went out on Thursday, and it has gone nuts. Every female star in Hollywood is called today.
That's great.
Come on. We gotta leave.
Where? I have to go to the final Wolf edit.
Ava Gardner wants to see you at 2 p.m.
Why?
For Mrs. Robinson. Now hurry up.
Larry.
Come on.
Larry. Ava Gardner is not going to play my Mrs. Robinson.
Never in my wildest dreams did I think I'd be an actress. It was a fantasy, like kids have fantasies.
I know. You never think they come true.
Exactly. I planned to be a scientist.
But I never knew that.
Mm-hmm. Lab technician. I loved formulas. That you could experiment with adding and taking away ingredients, and when the formula was correct, you could keep repeating it. It would always be the same. I found that comforting.
Formulas.
My mother forced me into acting. I must be the only actress whose mother actively forced them out of academia and into the movies.
Thank God she did.
Indeed. Do you like the script?
Yes, I do. Very much.
And do you have any thoughts? I want this to be a collaborative process.
Isn't all art collaborative?
Well, you do need willing participants.
It's all about trust. My experience of Hollywood is that you can't trust too many directors. But you're a different species altogether, Mr. Nichols.
I feel the same about you, Miss Bancroft.
I think this story is about so many things. East Coast versus West Coast. The older generation pushing the younger to be copies of themselves. The young letting themselves be pushed.
I couldn't have expressed it better myself. And what do you think of Mrs. Robinson?
Anger.
Anger?
Yes!
Raging anger. She's furious at how her life has turned out.
Can you identify with that?
Yeah, I can. I'm not sure why. I think she's rather marvelous, actually. Ironic. Cool. She sleeps with Benjamin because she can see something needing in him. And he makes her face up to the truth that she was once just like him.
Uh-huh. She's the most interesting character in the piece.
Why do you think I'm here?
Hello, Mr. Jet Set. How was the land of the phonies?
Awful. I don't know why I bothered. Every single thing about that experience was a nightmare.
I told you not to answer the phone.
Hello, Dustin? This is Mike Nichols. Your agent said it was okay to call.
Yeah, sure. How are you, Mr. Nichols?
I'm good, thank you. I hope your play is going well.
It is, sir.
Now tell me, have you read The Graduate?
Charles Webb. Of course, as in everyone.
Well, you'd be surprised. Did you like it?
I loved it.
You know we're making a movie soon, and we're looking for our cast.
Yes, sir. You've seen lots of my friends.
I'm having particular problems casting Ben. I was wondering if you would consider coming to L.A. to be screen tested for the role.
No disrespect, Mr. Nichols, sir, but, is this a joke?
Excuse me?
Ben Braddock is 6'2", blonde, tanned, and a track star.
You mean he's a wasp?
Yes.
And you're a Jew?
Yes.
Well, maybe Ben Braddock is Jewish on the inside.
Why did you go? What do I always tell you? Trust your instincts.
Right, so I get to the studio and they leave me waiting outside. And it's boiling. And I have no idea why, but I'm wearing black trousers and a black roll neck. And I'm sweating like a pig. Just being in L.A. is making me a nervous kid again. These movie gods are walking past every 2 minutes, you know, the Redford types. And I keep trying to focus on the scenes that I've been given, but every fiber of my being is screaming, get the hell out of there! Go home! Go back to New York!
You should have.
And then this, well, the most beautiful woman I have ever seen turns up.
Hi, I'm Catherine Ross. Are you Dustin Hoffman?
Yes, I am. Although, I'm not sure why I'm here.
You're screen testing with me. Aren't you hot in that black sweater?
She is totally one of them. But more so, a huge-eyed, snub-nosed, sexy version of Bambi.
Bambi?
Don't ask me why that's sexy, but it is. So, I panicked even more. So we have a little chat, and I have zero in common with her, and she's looking at me like I'm some species from the bottom of a rock pool, like she cannot even understand why I'm here, like it's some slight against her. And again, don't ask me why. I think I went a little crazy, but to break the ice...
Did you just touch me? Did you just slap me on the ass? What on earth do you think you're doing?
She got really mad and then started shouting at me, and Mike Nichols had to come and smooth it over.
My God.
Then we get called, and there's a whole crew, so many people watching, makeup artists and cameramen and everyone else talking for 2 hours about how to light my nose. And the scenes didn't go well. Nichols kept going, less, do less, until my head was swimming. And then on the way out after 6 hours...
Son, you dropped something.
Oh, thank you. It's my subway ticket.
You're gonna need it. I doubt you'll be back here in a hurry.
It was awful. Awful.
You finished? You see this, hugely expensive bottle of Moet? Open a champagne. You wanna know why we have champagne? Because today is like no other day, my friend. Don't be mad. I didn't tell you this, but 2 weeks ago, I met Mike Nichols.
For a play?
No, for a part in a graduate.
Gene?
Calm yourself, amigo. This isn't about you. He was on a flying visit to New York and he was doing general meetings. Precise, isn't he?
Do I want to hear this?
Yes. He offered me a part today.
Oh my God. Not Ben.
No. Mr. Robinson, no less.
Wow. I don't know what to say.
And before you go and sulk in the tub, you got a job too. Your agent called.
And?
You told me not to tell you this, but... Springtime for Hitler. You got it.
Franz Liebken?
The writer. The crazy German writer. Mel Brooks loved you.
Woohoo! Oh, hey, man. That's great. We're gonna be in the movies.
What do you mean you're gonna turn it down?
Mel, Joan Crawford says...
Joan Crawford says...
She says the public won't buy seeing me go from St. Annie Sullivan, for which I won the Oscar, to a bitter alcoholic. Joan says every actress has been offered it, and it's a poison chalice.
She doesn't know what she's talking about.
And I'll be playing Catherine Ross's mother, and I'm only 35.
Mrs. Robinson is sexy. She's damn sexy, and you can do sexy. Buck's mom was a movie star back in the day.
I never knew that.
He grew up with vamps like Mrs. Robinson. Oy, the stories he's got about being a 15-year-old with a boner around them. This is your part, trust me.
Mel, I'm not gonna regret it.
You'll regret it if you don't. I'm telling you, Annie, every actress in Hollywood will wish they played Mrs. Robinson.
Here, I bought you a coffee.
Thanks.
So, how do you think it's all going?
I think it's going great.
Oh, this picture of you and Liz Taylor. I love it.
Oscar night.
What's it like to be nominated?
Well, exactly as you would imagine.
Does it put everything wrong in your life right?
Yes. Yes, it does.
That is not the answer I was expecting from you.
Really?
I was expecting something a little bit more cerebral.
I came to New York when I was 7 years old, Larry. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
From Berlin, on my own with my brother, and my mom was sick back in Germany. We didn't know if we'd ever see her again. I hated New York. I loved it. The first thing I saw was a bagel shop with Hebrew writing, and no one was burning it down, but I couldn't speak the language. Can you imagine? It was like having my tongue cut out.
Awful.
Actually, I knew two sentences. I don't speak English, and please don't kiss me. That second sentence came in more useful than the first. I went to this new school with well-fed American brats, most of whom didn't even notice me, and the few who did hated me for my accent, my skinniness, for...
Being a Jew?
Absolutely. But mostly, they ignored me. Except for Matt Richards. He tried to kill me.
What?
The only thing I liked back then was swimming. One day, Matt Richards, and in hindsight, I hate to think what was going on in that family, he held my head under the water for so long that I nearly died. And he was calling me all sorts of Nietzschean names, and of course, because the underdog always stays the underdog in the first third of any good story, I got the blame. We walked out of the principal's office, my dad, my brother, and I, knowing that even though we had moved to a land where a bagel shop could stand proud, we were the loneliest people on earth. I never liked swimming again. So you know what went through my mind on Oscar night as the camera zoomed in on me before the announcements calling me the youngest ever nominee for Best Director for my first movie? The only coherent thing I could make out was my own voice saying, "Screw you, Matt Richards. I hope you're watching this."
I hope he was, too.
Not noble, but it felt good.
Mike, I'm worried.
It sounds ominous.
I've been looking at the screen tests again.
We've got the hottest screenplay in town. They're calling me the hottest director in town, and we've got the pick of any cast we want.
So. We've seen every actor in town, and not just this town.
We need to get it right.
Bob and Candice look good together.
No.
I just watched them back. They are gorgeous. I can't take my eyes off them.
Larry, we've been through this.
I know, but I gotta say this. Robert Redford and Candice Bergen are bona fide movie stars, and they can act.
Of that, there is no doubt.
It's been 3 years, Mike, since we met. Mm-hmm. Now the name Mike Nichols can open doors we could only dream of back then. Virginia Woolf is a great movie. It's a piece of art, but I want The Graduate to be seen by everyone. You can make any movie you want now. You made it through the door, big guy. I wish you'd have had your Oscar nomination with me. I'm not too proud to say that. But you're in that special room. The one behind the door, you know, with the elevator leading to God knows where. What's it like in there?
Wait, where is this coming
from? Don't get me wrong, Mike. I'm quelling on your behalf, but I don't know how to talk to you anymore.
Wait, have I ever, for 1 second...
Of course not. You are the nicest man alive, but... It feels like you're almost one of them now. I'm scared to disagree with you. But here it goes. Would it be so bad casting some bona fide movie stars in this? I mean, some actors that look like the characters they are meant to portray? Waspy, beautiful, blonde stars. Make a big picture. A big Hollywood picture. With a budget behind it and some publicity.
This is not the picture.
You have nothing to prove anymore, but this movie is not just you, is it? Think. There on the marquee, The Graduate, starring Robert Redford, Candice Bergen, or Steve McQueen and Natalie Wood. Joan Crawford's been phoning nonstop to meet you. Or even, hey, why not? Ava Gardner.
No, not Ava Gardner.
They are expecting some quirky little art house film from us. That's what Hollywood thinks they're going to get with a bunch of theater actors no one has ever heard of. It's what they expect of you. New York, art house, Jew. They say it behind their menus when we walk into their restaurants.
Larry, this conversation is not happening.
We have auditioned everyone, Mike, and your choices are wrong. I'm sorry.
You said you were Ben Braddock.
What?
The first time we met, you said you were Ben Braddock.
So?
Do you believe that?
Yes, I do.
Well, I'm Ben Braddock, and I don't think you're Ben Braddock at all.
Ah, come on now, that's unfair.
You want to work in plastics? Is that it? Do you, Larry?
What is this? No.
Is that what you went into the entertainment industry for? The money, the limo, the pool, the pat on the back?
Unfair.
Isn't that everything us Braddocks are fighting against? I don't care who questions me or my opinions, who thinks I'm making a small film. Braddock would do the same. I am not making a Hollywood picture here. I am making our picture. I thought we were both doing it for Ben.
You have misunderstood me.
You think I'm on the inside in this town? Really? Ben returns from college to L.A. He's handsome. The world is his oyster. They all want a piece of him. Does he belong, Larry? Does he feel on the inside? I don't think so. That's the point, isn't it? That's why we are making this movie.
I'm scared of failing.
I'm the real Ben Braddock here. I feel scared, but I have no choice. I have to do it my way. I'm on the outside, and it doesn't matter how many Academy Award nominations I get or that this industry holds me to its heart right now, I will always be on the outside. That's my world view. Please, don't kiss me. You know, I'll probably never win an Oscar.
So who's playing Braddock?
Dustin Hoffman. My heart leapt when he fumbled that screen test. Awkward, out of his depth. He doesn't belong here, but by God, that's why I want him.
And Mrs. Robbins?
Anne Bancroft. She never belonged in Hollywood either. Too strong, too sultry. Everyone I've ever surrounded myself with is Ben Braddock. We all feel outside looking in. We're all fresh off the boat, looking for a place in this new promised land among the tall blondes with good teeth.
I don't have good teeth.
You do.
So do you.
Well, I had braces.
Me too.
I'm casting Hoffman and Bancroft and that Gene Hackman. And I want to give Buck Henry a role, too. And Elaine, if she'll be in it. And you want a part in our small art house Jew movie?
I am Ben Braddock.
You are Ben Braddock.
But I can't act.
So let Hoffman do it for us. With his big nose and his sad eyes and his awkward body, he is our movie star.
I think these rehearsals are going really well, don't you? Praise God, there's finally a director who understands you have to rehearse a movie.
This is my first movie, Miss Bancroft.
Oh, please. We're going to be naked together soon. Annie will be fine.
I saw The Miracle Worker 3 times. I'm going to be a huge fan.
Well, I saw you on stage in A twice. I recommended you to Mel.
Oh, man. I wasn't going to mention it, but is he still mad at me?
No. He knows playing Ben Braddock is the opportunity of a lifetime.
Turning Mel Brooks down was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Well, he's more upset you dumped Hitler to sleep with his wife.
Sorry to interrupt, but can I need to talk to Dustin.
Gene?
Oh, no problem, gentlemen. I'm going home to line learn. See you tomorrow. Hey, you're a good actor, Gene Hackman. I like your process. You're going to be a star one day.
Thank you, Miss Bancroft.
That's more than I got.
I've been fired.
What?
Shh, just now. Nichols followed me to the John and he fired me.
You're joking.
He told me he'd made a mistake. Up front about it. I look too young to play Mr. Robinson.
But Annie's only 35.
She physically changes on camera. I don't. Nichols is like all the others.
Oh, God, I'm gonna be next.
I knew it.
Well, I'm 30, playing a 19-year-old virgin.
I knew this was gonna be about you.
Have you slept with them yet, Annie? You done those scenes?
No, Mel. You'll be the first to know. How's it going?
Awful. I started the first day shouting cut instead of action. It's been downhill since. The actors don't respect me. They can't say the lines as I imagine them. And zero. Oh, it's gonna be tricky. I'm a schmuck. Why the heck did I say I could direct? How's yours?
Sorry, darling. It's the most fun I've ever had. We know it inside out. Mike Nichols is brilliant.
And he schlep his ass over to New York and direct the producers.
I miss you.
I miss you too.
I groped Anne Bancroft's breast.
Just the one, you lucky son of a bitch?
Hey, we're in the hotel room, and Mike is looking in the monitor, all stern-faced, you know how he gets. And it's making me nervous. So she takes off her top in the scene, as rehearsed, and suddenly I think, what does Gene always tell me? What does the character want in the moment? And I know what he wants, so I put my hand on her breast. And then, I don't know what to do, as I know it's not how he planned it. How's she gonna react? Then I hear Mike stifle a laugh. I look at Annie and, oh my God, Jean, I am in love with that woman. She doesn't even break a beat. She just carries on talking as Mrs. Robinson, and then she sees some fluff on her sweater and starts casually rubbing it off. She's rubbing her sweater, and my hand is flat on her breast. It's ridiculous. Then I hear Mike and the crew really laughing, and I know I'm going to go hysterical any minute and break the scene, so I walk over to the wall, and I start banging my head on it. Which she also ignores and just carries on with the lines. And after a few seconds, I pull it together enough to continue. And on we go. Hang on. And get this. Mike says he's going to keep it in the scene.
You sound happier. Finally enjoying it?
I'm not enjoying it. I'm terrified. He's a perfectionist.
You got to fondle Anne Bancroft.
Yeah. How's NY?
Guess who Arthur Penn just cast in Bonnie and Clyde?
Warren Beatty? Faye Dunaway?
And me.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Sam, let me know when it's ready to watch.
Sure thing, Larry.
What is this playing?
Oh, my brother-in-law sent it. Been listening to it for weeks. Simon and Garfunkel.
It's nice.
Yeah, I tell you, I can't get enough of it. They're two clever kids.
Whoa. Really good.
Uh-huh.
Larry? Mike?
Yeah.
This the final moment? The scene on the bus?
Watch this. I'll take out the sound of you shouting at them.
You've got one shot at this. One. And we can't shut the highway any longer, so don't mess this up. Focus. Focus and don't forget to laugh on the bus. Laugh. And don't stop laughing until I yell cut, or I swear I'll kill you.
You kept the camera rolling after you yelled cut. Look at their faces. See how upset they look. Kath in a wedding dress, Dustin so sweaty. You can't end a comedy like this.
My God, they look terrified.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
You were pretty fierce that day, Mike.
Keep it running. Look at the way she looks at him, and then he turns away. And then she turns away. Dustin looks like he's gonna cry. They look so scared. Scared of their future together. It's viscerally painful. Yeah, I do wanna keep this. That's the end of the film. Our comedy punches you in the kishkas.
So, Mr. Nichols. That's it.
Yes, Mr. Terman, we made The Graduate.
Did we make our movie? Did we make the movie of our generation?
Yeah, I think we made it.
Sam, you have done a wonderful job. Thank you. Do you like it?
Larry, Mike, I spent a long time with you now. We're buddies, right?
Of course, sure.
Well, I think you've made a good movie. Very funny, interesting, looks great, but you cast the wrong guy in the lead. The right guy, you'd have had a great movie on your hands, a truly great movie, but you got the wrong guy, and I don't know where that leaves you.
And that was Gene Hackman and Warren Beatty. But I'm now talking to the three major players in this year's Academy Awards. Director Mike Nichols, producer Larry Terman, and the star of their movie, Dustin Hoffman. Gentlemen, 1968 has turned into the year of The Graduate.
It certainly has.
7 Academy Award nominations, Larry. What an achievement. And a win for you, Mike Nichols, best director. You must be over the moon.
I'm very blessed.
It's like a dream.
And a Best Actor nod for you, Dustin, for your first feature.
It's incredible.
Did you know that you'd made one of the highest grossing pictures of the year, Mike?
Not really. To be honest, when the film was finally cut together, we did a screening for the Hollywood elite who did not like it at all.
Not at all.
I can't believe that.
Believe it. So we figured it's going to be a youth film. So we took it on a campus tour of student screening.
And Mike and Larry called Annie and me saying that it totally bombed.
The students sat there at every screening in silence.
Stony silence.
Some of them booed.
Booed?
And afterwards, when we asked why, they said it didn't tell them how they should feel about Vietnam. Why had we made a film that did not reference Vietnam?
Yeah, what was the point of it? It wasn't relevant.
But something must have gone right. Dustin, when did you realize you'd made it?
There was a preview screening in New York.
It was at Lowe's, and I didn't want to go. I was too depressed.
Larry and Mike had told me not to go if I wanted to save myself, but I went anyway.
You see, he'd already stopped taking direction.
So I went in disguise, and I sat in the balcony. And suddenly, it was like a train gaining momentum. They got it, slowly. Slowly, but by the time Annie and I were at the hotel, they were laughing so hard I could hardly hear the scene. By the time I'm running to the church, the audience were standing up, screaming and yelling.
Apparently, when Dustin runs onto the bus with Catherine, they were stamping their feet and cheering and cheering.
It was profound. I was literally shaking through the whole movie.
Can you imagine how I felt? I was so pissed that I hadn't gone.
And the next day, there were lines around the block to see the movie, and it's pretty much been like that since the day it opened.
Now, let's talk about Anne Bancroft. We couldn't find her to interview, but what a performance.
I'm truly upset that she didn't win.
Yeah, me too. Without Annie, there wouldn't be a movie.
It's one of the most provocative performances of the year.
You know what? I don't care what happened tonight. Anne Bancroft is my best actress of 1968. The detail, the look, the intelligence.
We are so proud of all our actors, but Annie and Dustin here are something truly special.
Mm-hmm. Anne Bancroft became Mrs. Robinson. Iconic.
Look at them. My three Benjamin Braddocks. I'm so proud of them, Mel.
You should go over and join them.
No. Tonight's their night. Dr. King's death is hanging over all this. Don't you feel it? I can't shake it off.
Yeah, I know.
It's all different. And those three men over there are part of the difference. They took on Hollywood and won. Real-looking people, real films. They're going to be hugely important players.
And so are you.
Well, who knows?
Annie!
Well, maybe Joan Crawford was right.
What?
Hollywood doesn't really want to see unhappy middle-aged women on screen. Especially ones who have sex.
Or musicals about Nazis.
But our time will come, Mr. Brooks. One day they'll realize.
You bet they will.
But for now, I'm done with this party. Come on, I'll make you some eggplant parmesan.
Are you trying to seduce me, Mrs. Robinson?
You bet I am.
Well, have you heard, Mrs. Robinson? Mine is fine as wine, and I should know. Ho, ho, ho. Oh, bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey. Mrs. Robinson. Keep them cards and letters coming in, Robin, baby.
Mrs. Robinson, I presume, was written by Tracy Ann Oberman. Mike Nichols was played by John Sim. Larry Terman by Paul Kay. Dustin Hoffman by Kevin Bishop. Gene Hackman by Terry Minot. Anne Bancroft by Tracy Ann Oberman. And Mel Brooks by Steve First. The producer was Liz Anstey. And it was a CPL production for BBC Radio 4.